Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this moment of your word. We pray that, Lord, you will open our ears, our hearts, and you give me utterance to speak your word as you direct me to, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning again. Thank you, everyone, for coming, braving this rain and, coming to listen to the Lord and fellowship. It's a great pleasure. Again, my name is Ebo Kevogo. As Pat said, I left to go to Great Lakes, Illinois for 2 months and San Antonio, Texas for 4 months. And finally, I am a naval reservist. And for those who have some knowledge about the Navy and how it works, I'm a corpsman. A corpsman is those guys that are, as the history say, they've won a lot of medals because they brave their ways to go to the fire, the place of fire where, bullets are flying, and they go there to get the Marines out of the fire and the rest of the guys and treat them and make them go back to the battle, because they say that the mission is greater than anything else. So that's what we do. Unfortunately, we are not allowed to carry an M16. We are only allowed to carry a pistol. We and the chaplains are not supposed to be in the battle, and we are supposed to treat even the enemy soldiers. That's according to Geneva Convention. Anyway, I didn't come here to talk about the Navy. That's another thing, but it was a great experience. I jumped into it, and I felt the Lord wanted me to be there. The first time I tried, I was rejected. I was told, no, you can't go. There is something on your eye that we don't need you there. And I kind of gave up. I would drive down on 93, the exit that goes to South Station, and that strong feeling would come in my heart, and I would push it away, that I don't want to think about it again. But this guy who was a recruiter, he kept calling me and telling me, Ebo, I'm not giving up on you. And I'm like, God, what are you saying? Do you really, really want me to go there? And finally, they went and drained. It was a very small thing. They went and drained it. My doctor did that. And when we send out the paperwork, after 3 days, you've been accepted. You got a waiver. Now, I had gone online and checked all the comments, and it was like, you can't, and such a thing never happens. Once they reject you, they reject you. But I was kind of surprised that they called me back and told me, you can go to the training. Anyway, in the training, I've learned a number of stuff, and I kept asking myself, if we as Christians, we would be trusting God like this, how far could we be? You would wake up in the morning, you have no schedule, you have nothing. And the Navy has their own language. If you don't know it, you don't know it, you have to learn. Because they always just announce an MC and say, reveille, reveille, which means it's time to wake up. The uniform of the day, and you have to listen and get in the uniform. Because if you are out of the uniform and you're walking outside, you're going to be in trouble, because first of all, they will look at where your commander is and you're going to be written off. So we had all those laws and everything. And just like, you just have to be, to do the way you are told to do. And sometimes you are told to go and just wait. So we learned to wait, waiting for nothing, like just waiting. And sometimes we'd just stand at attention, or you stand at parade rest and just wait until you get another command. So there's some stuff that they instilled in us that some of them did not make any sense, but afterwards it did. So we know that we live in an environment that is fast-paced. You know, we have invented fast food, restaurants, we have the microwave, we have fast connection in the internet, instant coffee, and all those kind of stuff. You know, in the military, we have heated meals. I don't know whether Jerry know about the heated meals. So what you do is you just get that packet. It can last for 5 years. You just need to open it up and add in water, and it's hot, and you eat it. So you just add water, and it's heated meal. It's really hot. It's going to burn you. I'm not kidding. It's true. Yeah. So we had all those inventions. But still, there is an aspect of waiting in our life. When I was still new here, I went to Waltham to get my social security and card. And I don't know what was going on there. There's a lady who was shouting, "This is just another government project." And I was wondering, what is the government project? Because there was a lot of waiting, and she didn't want to wait. There's a waiting room in the hospital, or rather in the doctor's, doctor's office. There's a waiting room everywhere you go. You have to wait. We hate to wait. We hate sometimes you have to bang. The microwave's not heating the food, you know, very fast, you know. Sometimes the water town, I went there for my driver's license, and you just have to wait. Waiting is 21 minutes, end up to be 2 hours. And you're just going to wait. Dunkin' Donuts, sometimes you go and you're driving through, you really want to get it really quick. But you know what? Something happened, you have to wait. But there is also waiting when it comes to God. When the Lord tells you wait, what are you going to do? Praise the Lord. If God tells you to wait, you know, I wish God was like a vending machine. No, you put in $100, like, God, I need some healing. And, you know, there you go, healing. You know, this instruction that if you press A1, that's going to be healing for your cancer. If you press this and, you know, put in some money and you just go to heal or a breakthrough or prosperity. But that is not the case. God is not in that business. God is a father. I remember one time I asked God, why me? Why me? And I was very serious. Why me? Why me? Why is it happening to me all the time? And God said, I am treating you like a father. Just the way a father disciplines us. That is the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. Just the way the Father disciplines us. That's the way I like sometimes I see dads working with their kids, and there is a big trench, and the dad knows that my kid cannot jump over. And like, come on, come on, you can jump, and he holds the hand and just help the kid jump over. The kid feels good that he jumped the trench, but in reality, he could not have done that. That kind of trust, that kind of training that God takes us through moments that, one, we don't expect. Two, that looks impossible to us. And three, we just need to trust him that where he is taking us is the best. That where he is, what he's doing to us is the best. And that trust is the one that will help us to wait on him. That he has for us, and we can trust him, and he can give us. But if we are not into that frequency of expecting, of seeing God has the best for us, that is where things become a little bit muggy. In the book of Genesis, chapter 15, and that will be verse 9 to 11. We see the Lord talking to Abraham. And this story sometimes causes me to imagine what was Abraham going through. By that time, it was called Abraham, not Abraham. Abraham. And he's telling Abraham, I will multiply your descendant like the sand or the stars in the sky. And Abraham is asking God, how will this be? You know, during those days, we didn't have a Bible where Abraham would read and say, God did this, now you can. No. He's just dealing with a strange God who told him to leave his people and to go to a land that I will tell you. And Abraham just obeyed. And like the neighbors are asking Abraham, are you okay? You know, what are you really doing? Where are you going? You're sure? That was that God talking to you? And who is that God? You know, they're asking all those questions. But Abraham, like, you know what? I'm just going to go. And here is, he's telling Abraham, I'm going to really bless you. But Abraham, how are you going to bless me and I don't have a son? I don't have a kid. He's quite a strange God. And the way he works, he doesn't work the way we think he works. And that's why in one place in the Bible, say, let God be true and all men be liars. Because we do not understand exactly how he is going to put everything together and work them out. We have no idea. Some of you know my story, that at one point when I was graduating from college, my cousin had to come for my graduation to find out and to confirm that I was saying the truth. Because the people who will lie, and they're very good liars, but if you don't believe God and you don't understand how God gonna work through situations and bring things to being, how God can call things that are not and bring them to be, if you don't understand that, then it's even harder to wait. It is even harder to wait. So here is Abraham is bringing a heifer and a goat and a ram and 3-year-old along and a dove and a young pigeon. But there's a problem here. If you ever lived in a countryside like me, that you would be holding anything like beef or whatever it is, and we have those scavengers, you know, those birds that can literally beat you and get that away. And Abraham has to drive those away and wait on God. I am not sure how long he waited. I am not sure. I know it's easier for you to tell me, wait for 10 minutes, or wait for 1 hour, or wait for 5 days. But if I'm going to wait indefinitely, I don't know that God can show up anytime. Wait. And that is the problem. It's until Abraham waited and fell asleep and God shows up. And Abraham was recommended for waiting. He was recommended for obedience. And here he is. We have all these great promises coming that I will bless you, this land will be yours, and everything. If you read that, you see, you just imagine what Abraham was going through, you know, while waiting, and what was going through in his mind while he was waiting. But he trusted on God, who he believed, and he was accounted for as a righteous man. So, it's not easy to wait. I have another example of Saul. Saul is surrounded by enemies. And the men that are supposed to fight with Saul are like timid. I don't know. I'm looking at the situation as horrible. And that is in the book of Samuel. If you want to read that, that's going to be in the book of Samuel, chapter 13, verse 8. To 10, or you can read the whole story if you just read the book of Samuel, First Samuel chapter 13. They are hiding in caves. They are timid. They're just, you know, they're not even ready for the battle. And the Philistines can see that. And then Paul is waiting for Samuel to show up to give a sacrifice to God and give a prophecy so that he can go and attack. And Samuel does not show up. Paul has a set time days, 7 days. Samuel does not show up after 7 days. And Saul decides, you know what? Bring me that heifer. I will do a sacrifice. And that was the worst decision that Saul ever took. Why? He was not ready to wait. He was afraid. He was like, I'll do it my way. You know, in the Navy, you used to sing. Just the other day, I heard a master chief saying, you want to be Navy, you want to do it my way. But Saul wanted to do it his way, not God's way. And when he just finished sacrificing, Samuel shows up. You know, look at Saul as a man like us. He's giving all the explanation what he did, but God does not receive that well. Why? Because he failed to wait. God expects us to wait for him. God expects us to wait. When you wait on the Lord, the Bible says he will give you strength. The book of Isaiah 40, 28 to 31, he will give you strength. And that will be our text for our message today. Strength in waiting upon the Lord. Strength in waiting upon the Lord. I am not talking about the kind of waiting whereby I'm just going to wait upon the Lord. No. It is a waiting that is persistent. I am trusting God for this. I'm trusting God for the salvation of so and so on. It doesn't matter what is your mind and what you trust God for, and the Lord is not coming through, you are not letting go. I like Jacob who wrestled with God because he was desperate and he didn't know any other way. He wrestled with God all night until the angel tells Jacob, I need to go. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not gonna let you go until you bless me. If you are not desperate for God, I don't know whether you can say that. Because you'd be like, wherever I go, no. So we understand that God is not an ATM machine or is not a vending machine. And sometimes they break down. But he is a father who wants us to take us through some training. He wants us to take us through some trust. He says in his word that there was a short way for the children of Israel to go to Canaan. But he decided you're going to take them through the Red Sea, through the desert for them to reach Canaan, and took them many, many years. It was supposed to be 3 days' journey. So God is not into business of just giving us what we want. It's great. God will give us everything that we need. But he also wants to give us a character that will make us to get to heaven. A character of heaven. He wants to change our hearts. He wants to train us. And most of the time, training is never easy. It's never, never easy. Some of us, in the training, we had to be put in fit division. Fit division means you've been given a number of days and you have to pass this training. If you don't pass the training, you are going home. You're going through separation and you're going home. I literally saw my friends going through separation. And it's the worst thing that you ever go through. Why? Because on your uniform is written on it, SEP. Everyone, when you're walking around, everyone knows this guy is under separation. That's how worse it is. And you're not just walking around by yourself. There are other students who have been given authority over you. They're going to walk you around.
So I literally saw people going through that. And you are given a certain number of days. You don't make it. You are going through separation. So they put kind of a strain on you. And that encourages you even to train more to pass what you are supposed to pass. Thank God, God does not do that. He doesn't do that to us. In fact, when I was moving from Great Lakes to San Antonio, Texas, it's a great joy that all of a sudden, you know, praying and lying on my bed and what time was it? Like morning hours, you're half asleep. I don't know what's going with me, but I'm just trusting God. God, you're going to come through for me. You've come through for me in many times. I can't do this by myself. And then all of a sudden, I find myself like I'm in a pool. I'm on my bed, but it's kind of I'm in a pool. And the Lord is just, you know, helping me like those. This is how you kick your feet. This is how you do it and everything. I'm like, okay. And then I wake up. What's going on with me here? It's kind of a dream. And then all of a sudden, I go into the pool. And, you know, first of all, this is what goes on. They read something about training. It's dangerous. When you see anything wrong, you're going to lift your hand and say, training time out, and all those kind of stuff. And they make you guys shout, training time out, and then get in the pool. And this is a 12-foot pool. So I'm like seated right in the back, and I'm thinking, I don't want to be the first one. And they're like, you guys are seated in the back, you're going to come to the front bench, and you guys are going to get in the pool. So they say, 90-minute screening, go! And I'm like, okay. And then I get in the pool. I don't know what's going on, and I keep going, and I keep going. This time around, I don't go vertical anymore, but I just go horizontal. Like, your time is over, get out. And I'm like, you guys are going to rescue me? No, rescue yourself. Then, first of all, they were doing a screen. Then after the screen is when they do the real testing. So then I'm asking the instructor, did I just pass the screen? Yeah, you're going to go over there. So most of the time, we are like 40, 60 people, but only 10 or so are going to pass screen. The rest are going for training. So I'm seated there. And I'm in kind of those mood that I don't know what's going on. Remember, I just got a dream a few hours ago. And then the guy's like, all right, you want to get in? I'm like, fine. Then I get in the pool. I don't know what's going on. I just, my mind's a block. And I do exactly what I was doing in the dream. And the guy's like, give me 5 more breaths. Oh, okay, I can do that. I was not tired. Give me 2, give me 4, 3, 1. You've passed. Get out of here. And everyone is looking at me like, you just passed screening? You just passed your swim? You see? And I'm like, oh, my God. And I kind of felt like I opened a door for many other people too. And I'm like, thank God, that was not me. Because the previous day, the instructor was so frustrated with me that I was in the pool. He tried to lift me up to get a breath, and I just went inside and, like, got me out of the water. And this it is now, just past the swim, and I'm thanking God. I don't know what happened, but there was that desperate that they put us in, that those who knew the Lord would desperately cry and pray God. So when I was getting out of that pool, and you know now they call you barrow station hold because you only have one more training to go through and you're done with boot camp, which goes barrow station. So now they allow you to go access computers or do all those kinds. You have some privileges than other people. So that was pretty cool. But what I'm talking about is that desperate that you are put into for you to really, really work hard. And I think the military knows that if they don't put you in that desperate position, you are just going to take your time so that you can train hard. Sometimes God put us in desperate situations.
It's not that he's going to break you. No, he's making you. Because as much as God has chosen you as a weak vessel, as some people might think, or whatever you are, God does not want you to remain like that. God wants to strengthen you. God wants to train you. God wants to give you muscles so that whenever happens in your life, you know, I know, and I know God is on my side. That whatever life is going to throw on you, you can shake it off and say, I know who I believe in. I know my Savior lives. And God feels good when you have a strong faith in him. And sometimes the only way God can do that is sometimes not to answer your prayer today. Because if he was a vending machine, then you'd be like, oh, just gonna go there and get it again. No. God wants you to trust him. When everything else goes haywire, you don't know what to do, then you can remember that when I was desperate, the Lord did this to me. The Lord can do this again to me. And this is not with us alone. If you look at the men of faith, if you read the book of Hebrews about the men of faith, it was not easy. I believe sometimes, if anyone is like me, sometimes you get to places where you think, I'm going to die. I'm literally going to die. I would testify about one man who was so desperate to pass his swim that he kept going even when he didn't have oxygen or breath until he passed out in the water. He passed out in the water. And that's why one guy, and that's the first time they ever called training time out, and there was an ambulance and everything, and the guy had to be moved out of the water. Because he was so desperate, that you are given just, I think it is 32 days for swimmers and 10 days for those who are passing the run. And I remember another guy who, he was supposed to run for 12 minutes and 30 seconds. He made it for 12 minutes and 30 seconds. I was like, wow. You could see desperate people trying their best. God sometimes put us in that situation to strengthen us. So, Saul failed. And for that reason, he was not given his kingdom. His kingdom was taken away from him. Because he did not know how to trust God. And I think the problem with Saul is he had never had a moment to know God like David. Because David had been in the wilderness. David, I have never thought David ever thought he would be a king. In fact, when Samuel went to Jesse, Jesse paraded all the keys and that's all I have. Are you sure? And I'm sure the older kid is like, what is this prophet? I am here. He can't see me. I should be the king. But Samuel, like, something looked wrong. I don't know. What is the problem? Something's wrong. Do you have anyone else? There's another kid, but I don't think you even look at him. He's right there in the wilderness. Okay, go get him, you know? And David comes, and there you go. He's the one. I'm sure everyone was like, God must be a joke. I'm sure everyone was like, God must be a joke. But God was preparing David. So sometimes in life, we don't need to fight for things. You just need to be in the presence of God and fight for God. And you see the Lord doing his work. And I like it when God fights for me. Because I don't want to do stuff and rubber stamp God on it. God did it. When actually God did not do it, I did it. But look at the situation of David. David is forgotten. All he's doing is take his harp and, you know, killing lions and doing all those. But God was preparing him.
He was waiting on God. He was having that enjoyment in God. Yes, enjoying who God is and trusting in Him in every small thing and walking with the Lord. And the Lord decided, you are the man. You are the man. I'm going to promote you. One thing I like about my God, if God says you are the one, it doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter what the situation say. Even Saul thought he's going to kill him. I don't know what happened, but as a soldier, I think you should be a sniper, that when you just shoot once, but he missed it. He missed it. And finally, David was enthroned as a king. He missed it. So it doesn't matter what life throws on us. It does not matter. When God has your favor, when you accept Jesus to be the Lord and the Savior of your life, and you seriously follow God, day by day, making time to seek God, enjoying God, walking in His way, shunning. You know, the Bible talks about soldiers, how they train hard, or rather athletics. Athletes. I come from a country whereby some guys don't even want to go to school. All they do is to run, and they really do well. They train hard. They train on the valleys and on the hills. God expects us to train our faith, to train ourselves, discipline all the time. When you don't feel like praying, pray. You don't feel like reading the word, read the word. When you don't feel like having a quiet time, have it. And I have come to discover that is the best moment you can ever get. I know many, many times I would go in prayers and it's like a cloud on me that won't even let me do it. But I have to borrow that cloud, borrow it. And finally, I start getting a breakthrough and I will have the best prayers of my life. So sometimes, and I know this very, very well, the story of Mary and Martha. Martha is complaining that Mary is not helping, but Mary is seated at the feet of Jesus. You know? What does that mean? That whenever you want to wait upon the Lord, we have distractions. We have things that are going to be hindrance, because the devil knows very well that if you get it, you get it. And if you get it, he lose it. So he will try to bring blocks, roadblocks, for you not to make it. Like, oh, I'm so tired today. Oh, it's raining. I don't want to come to church. All those kind of stuff. And I'm telling you, that is the time whenever you take a step of faith, the Lord will bless those steps. When you just get out of your way and say, you know what, this is not me. This is totally not me, but I'm going to do it anyway. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will do it for you. When you take a step and say, you know what, against all odds, I'm going to do this. And one thing I know, when the Lord speaks, when the Lord tells you to do something, or the Lord tells you he's going to do 1, 2, 3 for you, he never misses the point. In fact, I get excited because the Lord has said it. And most of the time, the Lord will speak to you when you are in his presence. So the more you are in his presence, the most probably, that is the time he's going to speak. You know, I was in church one day, and this guy comes in, and he was speaking. He's kind of like prophetic. And he said that he was, he's from Zambia. And he say that he met Jacob Zuma, and he told Jacob Zuma, you're going to be a president. That's a long, long time ago, even before he was a president. And I kept that in my heart. And Jacob Zuma had all the allegations of, you know, rape and everything. He's going to court. And I'm like, what? Did this guy really hear well from the Lord? I kept doubting, because this is the man who said he was praying, and actually said he was woken by the Lord in the middle of the night, and he was praying, and someone tapped him. And he looked and like, my wife is asleep. Who tapped me? He kept going, and the Lord told him to go to the minister of mine and ask them for a mine. And he walked in the midst of the mine. He's a pastor, and he asked them for a mine. And said, we've been asking ourselves questions. Why don't we have locals who doesn't want to come to take these resources that are being taken by foreigners? And he was given a mine, like a land that full of mine. And, you know, he was really prosperous. So what are we trying to say? We are trying to say that when you take your time and spend your time with the Lord against all odds. I know some of us, we can do things in our strength and we can go far. But how far can you go with the Lord? How far can you go with the Lord? Because my God is an interesting God. Going back to our text that says, do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired, and his understanding no one can fathom. So when I get to that statement and say, the understanding of the Lord, no one can fathom, then I can take any step if the Lord tells me to take any step. Because God has a way of making ways for you where there's no way. So long as he speaks to you in his word, and he speaks to you and he tells you, this is what I want you to do. Put it at heart. He is God. He's going to do it. But with my experience, he wants you to take a step. Some of the things that the Lord has told you, he wants you to take a further step and trust him more. Let those promises that God has told you in your life propel you to seek him more. Propel you to spend more time, to set aside time for God. Even if it means just missing a meal and just focusing on God. Asking God, what do you want me to do next? What is the next step in life? Why has this taken too long? The Lord will answer you. Why, you know, sometimes even laughing at stuff like, God, your word say this and, you know, what's going on here? The Lord will answer you. But you have to develop that time because God wants to meet you. You have to develop that time for the Lord, a time of waiting upon the Lord. So much so that even when you are worried, so that when you don't have strength, so that when you feel weak, that's the time you say, God, I come to your presence today, but I don't feel like praying, but I'm here. You know, I'm here, God. I'm here for you. Let that song come. Let whatever comes, and the Lord will strengthen you. The Lord will ignite that battle spirit in you. The Lord will go before you, the Bible say, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 9, the Lord will go before you as a consuming fire to devour your enemies, to devour. The Bible talks about those walls you've had. the walls that have been built to the sky. And you've heard it say, who can go against them? Like Jericho. Like they do it in a way that they are sure, very, very sure, no one will go through this. And they are safe. And the Lord says, that's where I'm going. That is where I'm going. And I'm going with you. Joshua, I am going with you. Just take those trumpets and go around it and obey me, and I'm going to break them. It looks so simple because God will not tell you to do what you can't do. He asked Moses, what do you have in your hands? I only have a rod. It's not going to help. All right? Put it on the ground. All right? It's a snake. I'll take it back. All right. It's good to go. Moses is like, are you sure, God? Is it not a joke? And still, Moses goes and do those things, and the magicians come and do the same thing like, God, it didn't work, you know. Anything else? And finally, God worked his way. God is not shaken. His understanding cannot be searched. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you are going through. It matters only when you decide that I want to take possession of what my Father has. I want to stand up and do what the Lord wants me to do. And as you do that, the Lord will take you in places or change your life. That's a warning. God will definitely change your life, and you'll be like, I don't know. Because I do not know. I don't think Abraham ever thought he's going to come out of his family, his kindred. But Lord is like, you know, it's time for you to go. The Lord will take you places. The Lord will do things in your life that you never imagine that will happen. Recently, I went home, I had a story. Where did this guy, the guy who used to walk around with the Bible all the time? Oh, he went to America. It was interesting. Like, to some people, that is impossible. To me, it was impossible. But here I am. I don't understand, but I'm here. The Lord did it. So what we are trying to say is, let trust in God. It's not just a God will do the small things or whatever. That's fine. He can do that too. But God wants us to use us even much greater so that our life can be fulfilled. I sometimes do not understand why God calls us a co-workers and he has put his Spirit in our life. And if we are not filled with the Spirit of God, we can wait on God. And God will fill us with his promises. It is important for us to wait upon the Lord. The Bible says again, for those that wait upon the Lord, he gives strength to the weary and increase the power of the weak. Even the youth will grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall. But those that hope or wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. There is renewal of strength when you are in the presence of God. When you get in the presence of God, and like all that you're going through, you can give to the Creator of heaven and earth. The one who knows you're going out and you're coming in. The one who knows every piece of your life. The one who put everything together. Scientists and doctors are trying to find that out, but God already knows it. You will soar like on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. God is God. But he wants us to tune our life
that we may know his God. And the only way to defeat doubt, destruction, fear, and everything that interferes in life is to set aside time and say, this is my time to be with the Lord. And you will never go wrong when you trust in the Lord. You will never go wrong when you wait on him. You will never go wrong when you take God to be your God. I don't care. It doesn't matter what people say. I have seen God. It doesn't matter what they plan. I have seen God. You will look at it and you'll be surprised. In fact, you'll be the one who'll be praying for them. God, just don't do so much. You know, help them. Let them not be destroyed and so on. Because God is God. And once you take your time and you spend your time in the presence of God, your life is going to totally change. Whatever you need, the Lord will do it for you. So never give up, be strengthened, and try and pray that the Lord God will strengthen you and you will set time to wait, to pray, to fast, to read the word, to sing songs and psalms, and to focus and meditate on God. You will never go wrong. Never, never go wrong. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Your word says that those that trust in you are like Mount Zion. They will never be ashamed. And we pray that you help us to trust, to wait, to call upon, to spend time, and to set aside time for you in our life. And as you speak to us, you give us courage to take steps of faith. And as we wait on you, you will speak to us. Thank you because you are God and your ways are unsearchable. As the way east is far from west, so is our ways and your ways, Lord. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.